Hi, this is Brenda Rhodes. We want to invite you to stay tuned as we do an interview with Tim Menzies. You are going to be so blessed by his new music.
The temple courts were crowded from the feast. I sat there surrounded by all the Pharisees. They said, "Who did you study under, son? How old are you? Are you here alone? Tell us where you're from." "Well, on my mother's side, I just turned 12 years old. Born just down the road, down in Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I'm older than time. I am the light from up on high, the perfect lamb, the great I am. On my father's side, when I knelt by that olive tree to pray, a part of me was tempted to turn and run away. But I came in the flesh to pay the price, to hang on the cross, redeem the lost, and I knew it was time. But on my mother's side, I'm sweating blood, praying, take this cup if there's another way. But on my father's side, I knew the plan we made was the only way the world could be saved, and through me you could be. On my father's side, where the angels prayed, watching me hang there, then I heard all heaven shake and break out in praise. But on my mother's side, I felt each Roman nail. I could feel my body fail with every passing breath. But on my father's side, I rose from the grave. I've prepared a place we can hardly wait for you to see. You're home with me. On my father's side, on my father's side.
Hey everyone, this is Brenda Denny Rhodes, and you just listened to a fabulous song by Tim Menzies titled On My Father's Side. And we have a surprise for you all today, which we don't get to do this very often, but we're so thankful when artists stop by the station. And so for the next little bit, we're going to hear more of Tim's music. We're going to talk with Tim. He is here live in the studio today.
Alive.
Alive. Yes. Alive and well.
Yes.
So how's the tour going so far?
It's been great. I love meeting all of the voices behind the radio stations. And
well, we love you here at KTTK, and our listeners love you. And this song, I'm telling you, it has touched so many lives. And it, when it comes on, you are tuned into that station. You are listening to that song, to the words of it.
Thank
so we're going to talk a little bit today about that song and several other songs. You grew up in a musical family.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just start this.
Right.
You grew up in a musical family. So I want you to tell just a little bit about your upbringing, how you got into music, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, my mom grew up playing guitar and singing. And she and my father got married really young. She was 15. He was 17.
Wow.
And they stayed married 61 years. And my father's gone home to the Lord now. But as each child were born, there were five of us. We learned to play different instruments and sing. And then we ended up singing as a family in clubs, of which that part I don't really recommend. But we were unchurched, and the family band was how I grew up. And my father was blue collar, did heat and refrigeration. And so my whole childhood was around blue collar workers that played music on the weekend. Blue-collar musicians.
That is awesome. You know, I grew up in a singing family, too.
Okay.
And I always tell people, when you're old enough to stand on your own two feet,
yes,
you would learn how to sing and play an instrument.
That's expected.
It's expected. Well, you have done so many great things. And I know you said you grew up, you know, playing and singing in the bars. Mm. But then you went on into country music, writing country music.
Mm.
And I read some of these country artists that recorded your music, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I mean, just little artists like Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, George Jones, Loretta Lynn, Merle Haggard, and so many others.
Mm.
I mean, you know, sometimes that talent that you have, musical songwriting, it's God-given.
Yes, absolutely.
But so many times people don't use it for what God wants us to use it for many years.
Yes.
But
well, one thing, I didn't have a saving relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And I wasn't following the precepts of the Bible. But even as a young person, because of the music and because I would hear melodies and that I would know, I knew there was a creator, because I knew that those ideas and the music and the melody that I was able to kind of reproduce that I heard in my head, I knew that I didn't feel that I could take credit for that, even
right.
as a kid. So I didn't have a saving relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I certainly was lost. But it's kind of like the music is one reason that I never doubted that there was a creator.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, go back to On My Father's Side,
mm-hmm.
this single that you have out right now. Tell us how that song came to be.
Okay.
I love the story behind the song.
Yes.
And as an artist, as you know, I'm getting ready to record a new project myself. I want to know the story behind how the song was written.
Yes.
It means more to me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
And so people would love to know how you came about to write
okay.
On My Father's Side.
Well, the fact of God, of Jesus being fully God and fully man in his earthly ministry, has always fascinated me, and we see all of the examples in the scripture. And one Sunday, it was in 2021, I was at my home church, of which is rare these days because I travel
mm-hmm.
with the gospel. And the pastor was preaching, and I don't remember what subject he was on. And I asked him later, and he didn't know. He could look it up in his computer. But he was preaching, and almost as a sidebar and like a with kind of humorous, he said someone asked Jesus how old he is. And Jesus said, well, on my mother's side.
Mm.
And the moment I heard that, I kind of went into my songwriting, you know, trance. And because I had always loved that fully God and fully man.
Right.
But it's such a huge subject. And I wanted to write about it, but I could never condense it into a four-minute format
mm-hmm.
where it would be understandable. When he said that, I instantly knew that now I have a template to portray Jesus as he was, fully human.
Mm-hmm.
On my mother's side, I was 12.
Yes.
He was 12. On his father's side, he was older than time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And then the whole song kind of covers those scriptural accounts where his humanity is obvious and his divinity, because he was fully God and fully man.
Did you write it right there in church?
I had a bunch of, I knew the chronology of it.
Right.
I knew that it would start at 12.
Right.
And part of that was with him saying, well, you know, how old are you?
Mm-hmm.
My mother's side. And as we know of Jesus as an infant, and then going down to Egypt and coming back
mm-hmm.
to Nazareth, but that's about it until he's 12. And so I did know to start at 12, because it's also when he's in the temple teaching at 12 years old. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they knew he was special. They didn't receive him necessarily,
exactly.
but they knew this is not a 12-year-old mind
right.
and spirit teaching here. How does he know these things? And so that's kind of the first time that we know that there's divinity there. If we didn't even have the New Testament, we would know this person, something is different here.
That is awesome. I love the story behind the song.
There's power in those pages, Grandma Bible, look it up. You won't find a loophole to water down the blood. That crown of thorns was jagged, the nails pierced in the wood. We can't sugarcoat the story just to make the lost feel good. If that rubs you wrong, take it up with the boss, 'cause I ain't sanding off the edges of that old rugged cross. I ain't apologizing for standing on the truth. I won't stand before the Lord with some old lame excuse. I'm marching right behind him. He said don't count the cost. So I ain't sanding off the edges of that old rugged cross. I'll tell it on the mountain and everywhere I go. The Lord told me don't worry if he steps on your toes. That serpent likes to whisper lies into our ear. Like don't believe the scripture, we don't need this part right here. Well, he's pulled that sense of garden. Hey, get behind me, hoss, 'cause I ain't sanding off the edges of that old rugged cross. I ain't apologizing for standing on the truth. I won't stand before the Lord with some old lame excuse. I'm marching right behind him. He said don't count the cost. So I ain't sanding off the edges of that old rugged cross. This gospel bus is headed north, the wide road takes you south. Don't get left behind, my friend, you're either in or out. I ain't apologizing for standing on the truth. I won't stand before the Lord with some old lame excuse. I'm marching right behind him. He said don't count the cost. So I ain't sanding off the edges of that old rugged cross. Go out and be a blessing. Tell the truth and trust the message. Don't sand off the edges of that old rugged cross.
We love that song, Standing Off the Edges. But I want to go back to something that took place in your life of when you became a Christian. Mm-hmm. Reading your story, I was very touched. You know, I travel and minister too, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we go into churches, and you don't see a lot of men in churches today. Mm-hmm. You see more women and children sitting mm-hmm. there. And I read your story, and it touched me. And I teared up because I was like, man, if only fathers would realize how important it is for their family and to be a spiritual leader.
Yes.
So I want you to tell the story real quick to the listeners of how you became a Christian and what urged you to make that move.
And thank you for letting us talk about this subject because it's critical.
It is.
Growing up unchurched, I never went. And my wife was raised in the church. And when we had our son and he started toddling around, she felt compelled to have him in the church the way she was raised. And it's not, and her name is Brenda also.
Yes, good
and,
name.
Yes, I that's why it worked, yes. And it's not that I wouldn't go, I refused. Mm. But the hypocrite in me, I didn't mind them going.
Because at that time you were playing in bars and country music.
Yes, and I was stable because I was a father and a husband. And so in a secular sense, I was reliable in that realm, mm-hmm. but I was not the spiritual leader in the house, and I certainly was not following Jesus. And so my wife was taking our son to church, and I didn't mind that. You know, when I look back, I see some fathers that they don't want the son, they don't want the family to go either.
Right.
That's a different thing.
Right.
I didn't mind them going. I just foolishly thought that I didn't need to. It wasn't arrogance or anything. It was just ignorance and foolishness. And so the Lord let that go on for a while. And when my son was about 5 years old, my wife and son came home from church, and I was still in my kitchen, like half asleep, you know. And he walks up to me and stops, and my wife is still in the doorway with a Bible in one arm and a purse on the other. And he's 5 years old. He stops in front of me and looks at me and said, "How come Mammy and Papa go to church, which were my in-laws, and me and Mama go to church, and you don't?"
Oh, my goodness.
5 years old.
Five. Out of the mouth of babes.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the scripture. I didn't know how the Lord worked. I just knew that I was in a position I didn't want to be in my own house, you know. And as I looked at him, and he didn't move. And my son, when he was that small, he was clinically hyperactive. No sugar, no caffeine. It was just part of our life. But this day, he stood still, and he didn't speak again. He stood silently still, which that had, I'm serious, that had never happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't stand still, you know, until he was 14. And so, but he stood there and stared at me. And I knew, even in my lost condition, anything that I was thinking to tell him is why I didn't go. I knew that he would use as an excuse on his mom as to why he didn't want to go anymore. Mm. And I didn't want to do that. And I didn't lie to my son, even when I was lost. Growing up in the bars like that, most people were lying.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to detest that even when I was not a Christian. And so the Lord knew that about me, and he knew that about the whole family. And so I didn't know what else to say, Brenda. And I said, well, I'm going to start going.
Start going.
That's, and I didn't know. And the Lord knew that I'd go, because I told my son I would. You know,
you knew that was your heartstrings.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm not going to lie to him, because I know he would bring it up again. Hey, you said
you
were going to go.
You know?
And so the next Sunday, it would have been June of 1991. The next Sunday, I went, and I didn't understand what was happening, but I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in that body of Christ.
Mm.
And I was already having a lot of success as a songwriter in country music, and
yes.
So it wasn't. I wasn't feeling as though there was something in life I needed.
Right.
I didn't know I needed it until I experienced the presence of the Spirit. And I knew that morning that there's something more important than anything I have that I need. And I was very attracted to it. And then that began the trek of finding out, what is this?
That is so amazing. That's so awesome. I love that story. So to the fathers out there, it is important.
Amen.
That you go to church with your family. Your family's watching. So
it's a biblical mandate.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. Tim, this album, every song on it, you wrote.
Yes.
That is unbelievable.
Thank you.
And they're all the titles. I love, as I said earlier, I love to hear the stories behind the songs. But the title of it is "He Reminds Me." How'd you come up with the title for this song?
John 14:26-27, the Thursday night before the Friday morning cross, Jesus is talking to the apostles, and he has told them in John 14:1 that he's going away. He's going home. He's going to prepare a place. And the first time he had told them was about 6 months before this night. He had told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and resurrect. Of course, they didn't comprehend that, we know from the scriptures. And so that night, the Thursday night, he's telling them, I'm going to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things, which I think is just fascinating, and he will remind you of everything I have said.
Wow.
Now, he's talking to the apostles who had been hearing Jesus speak and teach, watching him heal for 3.5 years as fully God and fully man. And so they understood the reminding as what he had said to them literally in person. We now have the Bible, and those words mean to me that it is Jesus's desire that we would read his word so that then he can remind us of his word at the appropriate time in our lives, whether it be encouragement or hope or edification, or assurance that, yes, this is my word, and thing, what you're seeing is exactly how I said it was going to go, and that builds our faith. And so I had that idea for a long time, and basically you're writing a song about the Holy Spirit, and that's difficult. because every time you get into the masculine pronouns of he and him, it's difficult to not slip into those representing Jesus or the Father.
Exactly.
And so I would sit and I would think about it, and I never felt like, oh, I know how to start. And the Tuesday of Passion Week of 2021, it was later in the evening, and I started knowing the first line of that song is, Jesus said the time has come for me to go. And he's talking to the apostles on the Thursday night. Then I knew how to set up the introduction to the Holy Spirit's coming, and he will teach you and will be in you, as then chapter 16 says. And then I felt like I knew what to do.
Oh my goodness, that is so amazing. Real quick, and we'll get this information again at the end of the program, but if someone is listening today and they want to grab this music, tell us real quick how they can find you, how they can get your music, because I know they're going to hear these songs today, and there are some of them already. How do I find him? How do I find Tim's music?
Tim Menzies, and that's with a Z. M-E-N-Z as in zebra, I-E-S, I'm plural. TimMenzies.com. is my website, and when you go to the website, it'll take you to Daywind, which you know is a,
yes,
is a Christian label in Nashville, and that's all my product is there, timmenzies.com.
All right, people, go get this music, download it, buy it, order it, whatever you can do, get it and listen to it, because it is truly amazing. We're going to listen to another song on his brand new project. This one is titled Say Something.
You said the word and there was light. You spoke and stars lit up the sky. Your breath gives life. The waters part at your command are come pouring down and flood dry land. When you say it's time, you see every sparrow fall, hear every helpless sheep that's lost. You're everywhere. I've been praying, listening for so long. I feel all alone. God, if you're still there, say something. Say something. I'm down here on my knees, asking you to please say something. I know that you've got bigger things, and I'm not the only one who needs a word from you. Lord, show me if I'm praying wrong, if what you will and what I want has me confused. I know you want what's best for me. Lord, I'll follow where you lead. Just walk me through. I'm listening with an open heart, here in the dark, waiting on you. Say something. Say something. I'm down here on my knees, asking you to please say something. I don't know what to do, but I'll wait here until you something.
That song, Say Something, you know, you had some help writing that song.
She's pretty good help, too.
Yeah, she's written a few songs. Tell us about that.
Miss Sonia Isaacs, we wrote together 20 or 25 years ago for the first time. She was doing an album for Disney.
Wow.
And that's when I was writing country songs for a living every day. And so we had met and we wrote for that album and remained friends. And that song, I think we wrote in about 2010, Say Something. And so I had always wanted to record it since I started doing gospel. Mm-hmm. And Bradley Walker did it on his album, which mm-hmm. kind of then, so I wanted to honor that. And so it's on this new album. And Sonia and Ben Isaacs sang on it. And the Isaacs with Becky sang on several songs on this album. I was honored and blessed to have Ricky Skaggs.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Just a few, just you know, people that are just starting out, backing you up.
Yes. And, well, living in Nashville for 42 years and writing the country songs and playing on records, I've known all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jason Crabb is singing on there, Rhonda Vincent, Dan Tominski, my wife,
Brenda, the other Brenda.
Yes. And we've been singing together through all of my different musical ventures. And so she's on there.
Yeah.
And the song Jason Crabb sang on, I wrote with his father, Gerald, who's one of the most successful gospel writers, of course, in history, you know.
Yeah, let's go into that song right now. It's
excellent.
Titled
okay.
One More Reason, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Gerald Crabb.
Mm-hmm. Gerald Crabb.
Co-wrote
we wrote
that
it.
With you.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought it would be great, you know, if then Jason could sing on something that we wrote with Gerald. And so he said yes, and we're thankful.
All right. Enjoy this song titled One More Reason.
The news caught us by surprise. The phone rang before daylight. By now he's heard well done from Jesus. The Lord knows we'll shed some tears, 'cause we're gonna miss him here. But we've got hope beyond this grieving. He made it home, now we've got one more reason to look forward to heaven, where no one says goodbye, where hearts are never broken, eyes never cry. Days last forever, conversations never end, face to face with Jesus and old friends. I already had my hope in that fair land, now I've got one more reason. Wonder who he's talking to, St. Paul or John or Luke, his great-grandpa who came through Ellis Island. Or he might be at the throne, taking in an angel's song, amazed to hear King David sing beside him. To know they're up there gives me one more reason look forward to heaven, where no one says goodbye, where hearts are never broken, eyes never cry. Days last forever, conversations never end, face to face with Jesus and old friends. I already had my hope in that fair, I've got one more reason. I already had my hope in Beulah Land, now I've got one more reason. He gave me one more reason.
Brenda Denny Rhodes here with you today with Tim Menzies in the studio at KTTK Radio. We are so excited that you have taken time to stop by. You're on this great radio tour.
Thank you. We love your
music here. You know, as an artist myself, a lot of people will say, you know, what do you like in a service? You know, mm-hmm. So tell us what people can expect if they come and see you. in a concert setting or in a service setting. You just got finished telling me that you probably do 95% is churches that you go into instead of doing big venues or anything like that.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
All of those years that I was writing country songs after getting saved in 91, I was teaching Bible classes. And I just passionately love the scripture. It's the living word. It's new every day, you know. Mm-hmm. And so those years, for 20-something years, I taught many hundreds of classes, Bible study, and wrote country songs, not knowing that the Lord was preparing me for this ministry. And so I share a lot of scriptures and some stories, and the songs end up being kind of an application of the scripture or even a parable like our Lord did.
Yes.
And so I call these presentations the Word and Song. And so I'll go to churches, and most of the time they'll do introductions, and then I end up kind of being the service, and then we'll do an invitation at the end. And so the Word and Song, and it's a lot of scripture. And, you know, the music is in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So if it was just the music,
right,
you know, I'd just stay there.
Right.
And I wouldn't be driving.
So if there's a pastor listening, mm-hmm. you know, in our listening area, mm-hmm. How can they contact you again to contact you to mm-hmm. come to their church and minister?
Thank you. Tim Menzies, MENZIES.com. And the email from that website comes directly to me.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up when you ask about where I play, that's how it ends up being 95% churches. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, being in the gospel music,
right.
Most of the invitations are word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Where you and I met at NQC, National
right.
Quartet Convention, I did a song there and they videoed it. I didn't even really understand how all that was working. I didn't know that it was going to show later, you mm-hmm. know, on Facebook. And pastors started calling from seeing the video. And then the first album started being known a little bit. And so pastors started calling. That's when I kind of realized, understood, interpreted, this is
yes.
what I'm going to do. You know, because
yes.
the Lord had told me that my season of writing country songs was over.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a struggle or a wrestling at the Jordan. I didn't mind it. I just didn't know what was next.
Right.
And when I started getting those invitations, I started understanding the combination of the teaching and the singing and the word and song.
That is awesome. So pastors, if you're listening, contact Tim today and get him at your church to minister. You will not be disappointed, and people will receive the word. I
Amen.
Promise you that.
Amen.
We met each other at NQC several years ago. You were just coming on the Southern Gospel scene
yes.
at that time. And I remember walking by your booth because everybody was like, who is this Tim Menzies? Who mm-hmm. is this? And but I remember us walking by your booth. And everybody that was walking by your booth would just stop dead in their tracks because you were sitting there with your guitar and you were just playing and singing. And it mesmerized everybody. You have a beautiful voice. You
Thank
have
you.
A great talent that God has given you. And so today in the studio, you brought your guitar.
Yes.
And you are going to play a couple of songs for us live. Y'all, this is live.
Yeah.
And
yes.
But we're so excited because that's how we got connected to you.
Yes.
It seriously stopped in our tracks.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we were like, oh, my goodness.
Thank
the
you.
The voice is amazing. You can tell you have ministry, mm-hmm. you know, minded. And so we are so excited that you came today.
Thank
and
you.
We're just going to let you play a couple of songs. And people, we hope you just listen. Call your friends. Tell them to tune in because this is something special right now that's going to take place in the studio here at KTTK.
This first song is called The Church. And as we discussed, I was unchurched growing up, but my wife grew up in the church. And even when I was lost, we would go to this church where she had grown up, and her great-grandparents and grandparents were buried there, and still are, of course. And we would, you know, straighten up clean the headstones, that kind of thing. Well, her great-grandfather helped build physically that church, and now he's buried there waiting for the resurrection. And so that always, that story always fascinated me. And so I had many of these lines for a long time, and then wrote this song with one of my favorite brothers in Christ and songwriters in Nashville, Monte Criswell. It's called The Church. Brother Guthrie owned 4 acres just outside that two-lane town. One night he had a vision, saw God's plan for that piece of ground. Every board, every pew, stained glass too. Before you could say amen, the cornerstone was set, from the first nail to the steeple, without a single cent of debt. The whole town answered the call. The church went up in no time, in the twinkling of an eye. Built on the rock of ages, built to stand the test of time. I grew up on the stories about the sweat, the blood, and the glory. I thank God I was raised in the church. Brother Guthrie ain't missed a sermon now since 1889. He's never late on Sunday. First headstone on the right. Rest in peace. Thank you, sir. 'Cause in this church, I gave my heart to Jesus, learned the word and how to pray. Said wedding vows and heard my children sing Amazing Grace. Old timers love to talk about how the church went up in no time, in the twinkling of an eye. Built on the rock of ages, built to stand the test of time. I grew up on the stories about the sweat, the blood, the glory. I thank God I was raised in the church. Last night I had a vision. Jesus came down in the cloud. When that trumpet blew, Brother Guthrie knew the Lord was breaking ground. The church went up in no time, in the twinkling of an eye. Built on the rock of ages, built to stand the test of time. I grew up on the stories about the sweat, the blood, the glory. I thank God I'll be raised with all the other sinners. Jesus save in the church. In the church. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that when he returns, it'll be like the days of Noah, and people will be marrying and having a good time, and the flood will come. And we know from the Old Testament that God is the one who closed the door on the ark, and there'll be a day in the future when the church age, the age of grace, comes to a conclusion. And this song is letting us know to receive Jesus before that day, and we don't know when that day is, so we have to be ready. The young man said to the preacher, "First I'll get my ducks in a row, clean up my act, then I'll step on that straight and narrow." The preacher said, "You can't save yourself, you gotta walk behind the Lord. He'll lead you to those streets of gold. What are you waiting for?" We say one day, someday, first thing in the morning, but time slips away and won't take time to warn you. Don't wake up on the sinking side of old Noah's door. Look up, storm clouds are rolling in. What are you waiting for? The old man said to the preacher, "Son, it's too late for me. There's too much sin on my old soul for water to wash clean." The preacher said, "By God, you're right. You need to be reborn. Let Jesus wash you in the blood. What are you waiting for?" We say one day,
say someday, first thing in the morning. But time slips away and won't take time to warn you. Don't wake up on the sinking side of old Noah's door. Look up, storm clouds are moving in. What are you waiting for? We've all found excuses to him haul with the Lord. But he ain't fooled the great I am. Has heard all that before. Time slips away and won't take time to warn you. Don't wake up on the sinking side of old Noah's door. I do tell when there's that a drop of rain, what are you waiting for? Jesus could come down here before I strike my next chord. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? I'm telling you what, Tim, it has been a pleasure having you here today in the studio. And that is off of your brand new project. It just released in March, correct?
Yes,
this
ma'am.
Project.
March
3rd. And it is titled He Reminds Me. And people need to go download this music, buy this music, order it. Pastors need to have you at your church. You're an amazing artist. You're an amazing man of God. And we thank you for your ministry.
Thank you,
There's
Brenda.
A lot of talent out there, and you truly have talent.
Well, thank
you. Those last two songs, just sitting here in the studio playing live.
Yes.
And but thank you so much for what you do for the gospel music industry, for getting out there and ministering and sharing the word of God. We truly thank you. And but tell us one more time how people can find you, contact you, because what are you waiting for, people?
Amen.
Order his music. Order his music today. Get him to your church, to your venues, promoters if you're out there, get him to your events that you have. And we just want to hear more of Tim.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you for including me in your radio ministry here today. Tim Menzies with a Z, M-E-N-Z-I-E-S, timmenzies.com. Thank you for your kind words.
You are so welcome. There you have it, folks. Tim Menzies, go order the music. What are you waiting for?